Coming up on TMS, I don't like fish PT.
You can stand under my novella.
Teddy bears, nipples, and gold bikinis.
You require more ingots.
A clump of teens and a wad of kids.
Dunaway leaves a floater.
Take a bite of the greasy Denver.
Jabba starts yanking the chain.
What's Ask Jeeves doing these days? You know he had answers.
You get COVID, Brian gets hair.
Recommendals with Scott, Bobby, and literally no one else on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Today, the animal communication movement is quietly exploding. Thousands of people now say they can communicate with animals. And these communicators don't claim to have mystical powers. They are not particularly psychic. They are just ordinary folks who have learned to listen to what animals have to say to them.
Penises and boobies and whatnot.
The Morning Stream, The Beast with a Million Eyes.
Why, just last week I had my entire car millionized, and it smells great.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Wednesday, October 26, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson with further guest host, Bobby Frankenberger. Hello, Bobby.
I'm here.
Yep. Brian's
home
sick. For longer. Hopefully, hopefully this is the last time, because we don't want Brian to be any sicker than he is.
Exactly.
We don't know how he'll feel tomorrow, but hopefully better than he did yesterday. He's better today than yesterday. Just not, you know, still pretty under the weather. I think he's got some nasty flu. And again, I'd like to reiterate, you greasy, dirty tadpooligans in Denver, you Denver tadpool, with your nasty fingers and your breath.
Yep.
Or whatever it is you brought to the party the other day, you spread it to Brian.
So yesterday was A New Hope.
Yeah.
Today is, what is it?
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, Bobby Strikes Back.
Yeah, and then what's tomorrow? The Return of the Jedi. He'd be returning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yes.
Isn't it ironic? This is a thing I was just thinking about, so I'm glad you brought this up. Isn't it ironic that the third Star Wars original trilogy film, six in the canon, Return of the Jedi, is the most kid-friendly overall, I would argue. Tons of puppetry, you know? Not that puppets are for kids, but you know what I'm saying. It's like it's just a bunch of teddy bears and puppets, that movie.
Isn't that the one with sexy bikini Leia?
Well, see, now you're right on the track I'm getting to here. You got sexy bikini Leia. You also have slave Twi'lek girl who, yeah, Jabba the Hutt's have. She's out there dancing. He's got her on a chain. And at one point, he starts yanking the chain and pulling her up close and then dropping her down to the, not Sarlacc pit, the Rancor pit thing.
Yeah.
And that scene, famously, she's not dressed very much. So she might be painted blue, but, you know, you get to see things. And I just always thought it was funny that this third movie was so, like, kid-focused. Yet, hey, you want to see some nipples? Cool, I got the scene for you right here. Oh, you want to see Leia in a metal bikini running around and, you know, half a butt cheek hanging out all the time? There you go. There's that. And then, you want to go back
George
to teddy
Lucas
bears?
Knew how to please everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for women, probably.
Yeah. Chat room's like, that's not irony. I know. Yeah, I subscribe to the irony definition that that Bitter Pill lady did. What's her name?
Yeah. The Morissette.
The Morissette.
School of irony.
Yeah, the Morissette of rules. anyway, so yeah, Brian, we continually wish you a quick recovery and hope you're feeling better soon. The nice thing is he set me up today for songs and stuff, so I will not be an idiot with songs today. All right? Everything will be
fine. Aw.
I know.
Well, we like Idiot Scott.
I know. Fumbly Idiot Scott is a real attraction around here, but today you're not getting it. At least not in that way. You might get it in some other way.
We always get it in some way, right?
I do want to say this, though. Sometimes when you're in bed and you think there's a, you know, you might be laying there thinking you got a spider because your leg itches, or you're like, oh, what's that? And you kind of brush something off to see what it is. And then usually it's nothing, just like a random sensation. I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody that based on my experience last night, that the way you want to view that sort of thing is always assume spider. Don't just assume, oh, just random sensation. Like, do assume spider, because here's what happened. At about 10:30 last night, starting to doze off a little. I was playing Red Dead Redemption on my Steam Deck in bed. Like you do, right? Like a proper man.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, that's what proper men do.
That's right. So I'm doing that. And as I'm finishing up this mission I was doing for Dutch, I was doing a thing. And then I feel this sort of tickle on my thigh. And I'm like, what the frick is that? It feels spidery. And I reached down there and just kind of slapped my leg. And there was nothing there. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's just me dreaming a thing. And I laid back down.
Phantom leg feelings.
Yeah, phantom feelings is what I was having. And as I started to drift off to sleep, I felt it a couple more times, but I already knew this was a phantom feeling. It wasn't anything big deal. So I go to sleep. I wake up this morning, 6:30, get up.
And you no longer have human limbs. They're all spider legs.
Oh, I wish this was the case. Because then, well, that's why I'm wearing this turtleneck today. It's to hide my spidery features that hasn't spread to my head yet. Anyway, I get out of bed. And lo and behold, I get into the bathroom there, and I look down at my leg, and my left leg.
In the bathroom and spinnerets instead of a butthole.
Oh man, you really want me to go full spider man here, man spider, I guess. I don't know what's the guy. Brian was telling me about a character in the Spider-Verse called. He's Spider's Man. That guy's great because he's
made up of a bunch of spiders.
Yeah,
right?
He's just a ton of spiders all crawled up and made a man form. And then wears the suit still wears the Spider-Man suit, but it's all spiders in there. It's pretty great. I'd never heard of it until he told me. Anyway, so I get this spider, I look down at my leg, and there's a dead, flat, bloody spider, black spider on my leg.
Ugh.
That tells me that A, it was real. B, I rolled around and thought, there's nothing there. And at some point, I turned over and mushed it, and it died there on my leg. Had I known this, I don't know if I'd have been able to sleep. Like, I slept. And then yet here this is, laying there, this black-ass spider on my leg.
I don't feel like you rolling over in the bed would have smashed it, though. I feel like that initial slap had to have smashed it.
Mm. It's possible. I didn't have any residue on the hand, you know? I had looked at that and went, oh, well, shouldn't that be the case? And it did look kind of, I don't know, not smashed like it got hit with blunt force, but more like mushed, because I sleep on that side of my bed. Like if I roll over and I go to sleep, I'm on my, let's see, what is this, my left side. What is this? It's my left side. I lay
Hold
on my left
hand,
side
make an L,
and I think if it was like struggling to live at all, I probably ended it there. I probably killed it then. I don't know. But anyway, I hated it, and it's Halloween, so I guess I got what I deserved. It's fine.
It was a Halloween miracle.
It is a Halloween miracle, truly. What also is a miracle that you guys have picked up quickly on this whole text idea. And look at this. We got a text from an anonymous listener who said, this is about the metal we talked about yesterday, titanium tubes and all that stuff with Bill. This is a weird thing to say, but he says, titanium isn't as great as you think. We do need more ingots, though. Signed, Anonymous. What do you think of
more
that?
More ingots of titanium?
Yeah, or I guess
ingots
anything.
In general.
I think he means just ingots as a general rule. We need more ingots, be they copper, iron, who cares?
And also, what a tease of a text, right? Titanium isn't as great as you think, and then you just walk away. Like,
yeah,
where's the follow up?
This is the Beatty headline without the story.
Yeah,
you know
exactly. Yeah. Titanium isn't as great as you think.
Yeah, click here to learn more, and then I learned nothing. Yeah. So, why would you? Why? Okay, I need a follow-up from this dude or lady. I don't know. They're anonymous. I have no idea who they are. What's wrong with titanium? I was always, when I grew up, titanium was the coolest metal. There was nothing cooler. So if you talked about metals, you went, oh, what's your bike made out of? Oh, I think it's like hollow steel. Oh, that's lame. What's his bike? Titanium. You know, we'd all lose our minds because it was light and it was like super strong and expensive. Right. And it had all these like, I don't know. Titanium is like it's a cool thing. So I need to know more. What's the problem? What's the problem with titanium there, man? You can't just text me and tell me it sucks. You gotta give me some details, which I hope I get from this guy. Yeah. So
I tried Googling titanium isn't as great as you think.
What'd you get?
And there seems to be some Quora article that explains that titanium isn't as great as steel, but it's really long and I don't want to read it right now.
Sometimes so. I wonder, Google owns Quora, right? Don't they own them still? They don't really do much with them, but they own them, I think.
I don't know.
They come up too much in the results. I don't trust it. I'm not saying that they're favoring their own stuff. I'm saying
bring back Ask Jeeves.
Yeah, what happened to Ask Jeeves? He had all kinds of answers to my questions, that guy. Well, anyway, there's a fun little note there. We also got one from Rishi B in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
We know him.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he in your season of competition?
No, he was, I think he was the first season.
First season. Yeah. I can never remember where he was. Anyway, he wanted to talk about Blockbuster and I was willing to let him. So here's what he says. Namaste. This is in reaction to the hot off the presses talk you had about Blockbuster with Bobby Franks. A little color I'd add to the misfortunes versus Netflix is that it's really hard, especially around 2008, for retail companies to think outside the box of their primary assets. In this case, having the foresight to know that the store on every corner is a con versus direct streaming service. I'm not sure what that means. Oh, a con meaning like a pro, a con versus pro. I get it.
Yeah.
I work for a major RX retailer, and a lot of their future strategizing involves using new digital tools. But to drive people to the stores, they still, but they're still not all in on digital. Thank you. Come again. Rishi B from Ann Arbor. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it. And it's also like, it probably at the time to Blockbuster, other people have piped in too and said, part of this problem was Paramount, who did something with Blockbuster and gutted them to pay debt or something. So there's a whole other aspect to this that I didn't know about, and I won't get into it because I don't quite understand it. But just from a competitive standpoint, I think our point yesterday stands, which is you, if you have the forethought about what the future might hold, then you have it or you don't. Like in the case of Netflix, yes, they didn't have a bunch of physical locations they had to worry about and a fleet of employees and all the other stuff that comes with that. What they had was a weird mail service for DVDs. But I would argue that's still a massive pivot to streaming. Like,
yeah,
you really are just you're really just one Blockbuster who mails their movies out in mass. And
yeah,
that's really
the Netflix. Yeah, the mailing of the DVDs. That's not like I wouldn't call that a natural. Like, streaming is not exactly a natural conclusion to sending people DVDs in the mail. You know?
No, no. I mean, it.
I would say Redbox is more like connected to what Netflix was doing.
Yeah, they still have a streaming. They tried streaming something. Redbox did. Hold on.
Did you ever consider it?
No.
Me neither.
Because I was like, well, I'm getting what I need from other places. Here we go. Rent, stream, and buy. They're still doing it. Let's look at their offering. I'm going there now.
Yeah, Redbox still has boxes at in front of like Walgreens all over the place.
Yeah, I think they're doing okay from the physical standpoint. I think they still exist, but they've got here we go. They have a ton of on demand. They call it on demand. So for $1.99, I can watch Nope. You know that Idris Elba Beast movie where he fights a tiger or whatever the crap's going on there?
Yeah.
That is currently, I can rent it at a kiosk for $1. Oh, I see. I can rent it at the kiosk for $1.99, which I can do through the app, or I can buy it on demand for $20. So that's new releases. If I go to old stuff, let's say, I don't know, geez. That's all new stuff here. Okay, the original Halloween.
Yeah.
I can, okay, watch with ads for free, rent on demand for $1.99, or buy on demand for $10. So it's not bad. And they must be doing okay. I'll bet they're doing okay, you know?
I miss the Redbox days in a way because there was a fun, like, metagame that we would play. And that was, we would want to watch a movie. Because the whole idea of Redbox for very, very young people.
Yeah.
Like Claire Gack, who don't know.
Yeah, very young people. Yeah.
It was a literal box, big box, about as tall as a person. It was a machine. It was a vending machine, basically, in front of a store. And you would go in there and you'd put what movie you wanted. And the DVD would be in the machine and it would spit it out to you. You'd take it home, you'd watch it, and then you'd return it back to the machine. You'd stick it back in.
Yeah.
Well, because the DVDs had to be in the machine, sometimes you'd want a movie and it wouldn't be at a particular machine. But they allowed you in the app to say, I want to watch this movie, and they'd tell you where it was.
Yeah, which kiosk.
So that was always a fun game, driving all around town to, like, oh, there's one over here! and driving across town to find the movie that you wanted.
I watched a clump of teenagers try to break into a Redbox once. That was fun to watch. I mean, wow. I didn't...
Did they succeed?
I was in the car, and I was in this at an intersection, and I watched them just banging this thing and tipping it, you know, like you do if your drink's stuck in a vending machine. They were doing like that, just like rocking it and then punching it and doing all this. And then...
So when you see that happening, what do? Do you just...
Well, if I was there, I would have said...
Let the kids have it, or do you call the police?
Oh, I would have called the cops. In fact, was going to. I was in the car alone. It was late at night. I was at an intersection waiting for a light to turn green. So I wasn't like out walking around or whatever, but I was ready to grab my cell phone and call. But then I saw somebody who worked there did work. The place that they were at was, I think it was closed. I think it was dark inside, and that's why they were trying to do this. But somebody was there and came running out, and they scattered, grabbed their skateboards and scattered. They all had skateboards. Seems like a bad getaway car, but whatever.
Somebody ran out. Were they shaking their fist in the air?
They kind of. They were like yelling and cussing and freaking out. And I'm like, well.
Hey, you kids, get out of here.
I said, my work here is done. And I kept driving. But I've said this before on the show. I once in a while have a weird urge. And I always get heat for this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I get a weird urge when I see just kids loitering somewhere. Like I used to when I was 15. Okay. Because that's what you do. It's part of growing up. You're hanging out, right? When I see a wad of kids out and doing that somewhere in a parking lot, I'm so tempted to go scare the living crap out of them. I just want to get out of the car, look tall, talk loud, freak them out.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know what this is in me, but it's always in me. And when I see it, I just I want to go scare that kid.
There's something about a group of teenagers, and it's especially teenage boys.
Yeah.
There's something about a group of teenage boys that are hanging out that you just know that those kids, they think that they are the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That they've got it all figured out and nothing can mess with them. They've got it. It's easy street from here on out. They know everything that they need to know. And you were once that person, and you have the wisdom now to know that you actually didn't know anything, and you still actually don't know anything.
Yeah, I still really
and it's
don't.
Like you just want to knock them. I understand that feeling. You want to just knock them off their high horse and be like, look, kids.
Yeah. Knock it off. You think I'm some old guy walking over here. So that's why I want to scare them, because they're not going to take me seriously any other way. Right?
Right.
Because to them, I'm some old guy. And by the way, anybody 20 and older to them is an old guy. That's just how they see it. So I just want to put a little, you know, put a little scare of the Jesus in them, or whatever the word is I'm trying to find. I just want to have them go, oh no, that guy. And then they'll talk about it for years. Remember that time that guy got out of his car at midnight and freaking ran us off? Remember that? You know what I mean?
One of my favorite things to do when I see a group of teenagers, regardless of whether they have skateboards or not, is I love to roll down the window and yell, skate or die, man!
Yeah, skate or die, dude. Woo! Well, see, you're a kinder soul than I am. For whatever reason, that's just always a thing with me. I want to do it. My sister's like this. Wendy, my sister, the psychologist, she shares this desire sometimes. We've talked about it. So it must be a Johnson gene. I don't know what's going on. Our ancient Viking blood coming out, you know, where we just want to go raid something. I'm going to take over your town, destroy your village, and steal your gold or something.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you. I'd love to put the fear of God into some teenagers.
Yeah. Well, that's the phrase I was looking for.
Let's go terrorize the town.
Let's do it. That's the phrase I was looking for. Fear of God, not the fear. What did I say? The ghost of Jesus, whatever I said. That's not what
I meant. Something like that. Yeah. The ghost of Jesus. Catholics believe in that.
It compels you. All right. Let's get in here and have some fun with Brian Dunaway. So Dunaway is going to call today. We're still having a game, but you guys aren't calling in. All right. The way this is going to work is a little bit different. I'll explain in a second as soon as Dunaway arrives. But it's going to be just a little bit different today. You'll survive the change until Brian gets back.
The changes.
The change. Like, you know, break. What's the song? I can't think of the song. Something about change.
Change.
There it is. That'll
something,
work.
Something.
Yeah. Yep, your knowledge of the lyrics are far and wide. Dunaway's not answering now. That makes me worry. Let's see. Is he in the chat? I saw him earlier.
He was in the chat earlier.
Yeah, I don't know if he's just picking his butt, if he's didn't probably notice.
Sometimes before my Tuesday segment, I think, oh, Bill's on. I have time for a poop.
Yep. This happened before with Dunaway, where he was like, oh, I thought you had another 10 minutes the way you guys were talking, and then he'll come back and feel bad. So maybe he might be in the pooper. I don't know.
Yep.
We'll find out shortly. Even if he doesn't answer.
Nature calls.
Yes, nature calls. We probably, even if, let's say he's not around, we could probably still make this work.
Oh, I could do this with just you, because the point of what I've got set up is to talk about the interesting thing and to suss out the, and because you, yeah. We could still do it.
We could still do it. All right. Well, he's ringing.
Or we could just call anybody.
That's true. He sent me a message. Hold on. We are doing a kind of
log dude. Won't flush.
Can do. Log won't flush. Stop. Please see message below. Stop. That's what it'll do. I never understood that stop stuff. Why are people to use that? What's that about? Do you know?
That was the telegraph thing.
Oh, right. Yeah, back in the day, they would say, the natives have taken over the city. Stop.
That's what I'm wondering. Did they just not have, and this could be totally true, this isn't me being funny, did they just not have punctuations that they could send over telegraph?
Well, maybe what it was like, I don't actually know that. I wonder why they had to, and they couldn't just say period or...
Yeah, well, maybe stop is shorter than period, and maybe there's no... Because it was all Morse code, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's just no Morse code for any punctuation.
Yeah, that might be it. All right, well, I think he's not here. So here's what we'll do. We'll do this just with us. How about that? And the listener in a weird way, but I'll explain in a second. Here we go. All right, we're going to play a not Battle Royale today. It'll be a little bit different. It's Bobby's Game, which sounds like a Stephen King book, doesn't it? Bobby's Game?
Bobby's Game.
Yep. Sequel to Gerald's Game. Ooh, you don't want to be in that sequel. Of all the sequels to Stephen King books, I think that's one you want to steer clear from. Anyway, let's get to it. We're going to... here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to basically play this game for one of you. A little bit like we do on Mondays, but the way it's going to work today, instead of you calling in, you're going to text the same number, 801-471-0462, and I'm going to take the fourth person who texts, all right? You don't have to say anything. Actually, you do. You have to say the word beep or boop or something short, all right? So I can pick it out of the list here. But I'm going to pick the fourth one, not the first, not the fifth, not even 2-3. It's going to be the fourth. So you may as well send it now. Don't try to be real strategic about it or anything. Oh, we already have it. Here we go. You ready?
Ready.
This comes...
You might also want to include your name.
Your name, yeah. I'll just ask them their name since they're the winner here. So I said, hi, what's your name? This is someone calling from the sixth... The only information is I get their area code. So I've got 630 is all I have.
But you can reply. You replied to one of my texts, so I know you can reply.
Oh, it's Katie Talmo on the other end. Sweet. 630, that must be not Vegas. Wait, Katie, you're in Vegas still, right? I think she's still in Vegas. Anyway, Katie Talmo will be today's potential winner of the following prizes. You're going to win Steam editions of Super Hot and Dear Esther Landmark Edition. Ooh. Dear Esther's fantastic.
The quest, the Meta Quest 2. I've been thinking about trying out Super Hot.
Super Hot's awesome, especially in there. It's a great VR experience. I think it's good in 2D as well, but it's a very much more immersive sort of thing to play in there. It actually kind of scared me. But I get scared. VR versions of things scare me, so, you know, take that for whatever it's worth. These are very cool games. And I'm pretty sure Super Hot for Steam also works in VR. So I think you're safe with this one if you end up getting it, Katie, and you don't have a headset. Anyway, so there's that. Hey, let's get straight to it here. Bobby, you want to explain your game and how we can try to win some prizes for Katie?
Yep, it's going to be called... The game's going to be called Science or Fiction. Oh, hold on, ready? Science or Fiction!
Oh, I man. I don't even know. We should have had a thing for this. Do I have a thing? Here. There, that's your thing. That's all you got.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever listened to the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe podcast?
Never in my life. It sounds like something I'd like, though.
Okay, good, because in the short notice that I had, I stole these questions from them, from their podcast. Okay. If I had had more time to prepare, I would not have. But I want to give full credit to the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe podcast so nobody thinks that I'm trying to pull one over on them and cheat here.
No worries.
But these are questions. So the game is where I'm going to present to you a statement, and it may be true. It may be a statement as stated. It may be true or false. It might be science or fiction. Okay. And then you have to decide which one it is.
Okay. Science or fiction. I like this.
Yeah.
I think
so. You can just tell me true or false, because some of these are like are statements of popular myths that may or may not be true. So just as each thing, as it's stated, you tell me if it's true or if it's false. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good. Is that show worth listening to, by the way? Is that a thing I should put in my rotation? Do you like it?
I love it. It's a little long. But I love it. It's a lot of science news. They have many, many hosts, but they've been doing it for a really, really long time and they handle it really, really well.
Chat room says they had to stop listening because of someone Novella's brother annoys them or something. I don't know what that is.
You know, they could be. There are three brothers of the host. There are three brothers, and they are all the last name Novella. And one of them I could see might be annoying.
Interesting. All brothers doing a podcast. That's actually kind of cool. Everyone thinks I should do one with my Korean brother, but I don't think he'll do it. He gets too nervous. He's camera shy when it comes to this stuff. Anyway,
are you ready for number one?
I'm ready for number one. Give it to me.
All right. Number one is the statement is cattails. You know the plant cattails?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Cattails are almost entirely edible and, in fact, produce more edible starch per acre than any other green plant.
Starch per acre?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see
this. Is that true or is that false?
When you break one open, they have, like, magical amounts of stuff inside. If it's what I'm thinking of, but those are all dried out and kind of like cotton. Who would eat that? How would you process that? I've never heard of anybody eating that. So I'm going to say part of this question is it's edible is the claim, right?
Yes, it's edible starch. In fact, produces more edible starch per acre than any other green plant.
I'll just guess. I don't actually know this. I'm going to go against my gut and say that, yes, this is true. It's science.
In fact, it is true. It is true.
Oh, my gosh. Is it really?
Yes, it is true. All right. So cattails produce a lot of starch. You mentioned that they're, like, dry, the cattail part that makes it seem like a cattail, that brown thing at the top.
Yeah.
It's really, really dry. Mm-hmm. So clearly you've held one and messed with it before, right?
I have, yeah. They're amazing. If you start breaking those up, certainly, I think maybe it's in the fall or whenever it's matured, but you open up that top bit and you'd swear it's like a clown car. It's like,
right.
how did they,
like, fiber and stuff that comes out of it.
Like, how did they get it that much into that tiny compact space? It's crazy to me.
Well, so you're right that that's not edible because it's dried cattail, but before it dries out and becomes green, that top actually is, or becomes brown, that top is actually green and can be cooked and eaten.
Is it good? Have you had this?
Apparently, it is good. Some cultures cook it and eat it as part of everyday life. It was an important frontier crop or frontier plant or in early colonies or in the colonies early on in the colonization of the United States.
So they came over here and said, hey, what do you want to eat? And they said, well, we got these cattails. Let's do that. That's basically it.
Yeah, yeah. And the stalk is also edible. The roots, so the whole plant, there's tons of stuff. And they do say that if you monocropped it, which means like you're not going to go and pick a bunch next to rivers and get enough, like, per acre.
Sure.
But if you monocropped it and actually planted it and produced it, it would be more starch than potatoes and yams.
Oh, my Lord. Well, I hate yams, so I'm looking for a replacement for yams. That sounds good. Yep. I don't like yams. Yep. So let me ask you this question. Does it require a wetland type environment, or can it be cultivated here in the Rocky Mountains? Like, can you make
that
it
anywhere? I don't know. I would assume that it needs some kind of very wet land, because it's always next to rivers and whatnot, right?
Yeah, stick
you
to
should
the
also
rivers
as a warning, yeah, anybody who's like foraging, if the water source is known to be polluted, you should never eat a cattail, because that part of the big top, even if it's green, it's used to filter the water that the plant uses.
Oh.
So it will concentrate any toxins that are in the water.
That
but as long as the
like,
water source is clean.
But what if it's like fish pee and stuff? You don't want fish pee in your cattail, right?
Well, I'm sure you get fish pee in your diet all the time.
I'm probably drinking some fish pee in this tea right now, for all I know.
That's what my coffee tastes like, is fish pee.
Or cat pee, because there's some mushroom in this, and a cat could have peed on that. I don't know.
Exactly. All right, you ready for another one?
Give me another one. I'm one for one here.
Yeah, that you got that one right. You're right.
Oh, by the way, so the rules is, I can't even talk. If I win, if I get all these correct or enough of them correct, more correct than not, Katie walks away a winner. If I get more wrong than not, she loses and we pass these forward to whoever's next.
Yep. Right? And Scott reserves the right to change the rules in the middle of the game like he often does.
Yeah, which I don't mind doing at all. It's not a problem.
All right, here's one about nipple piercing.
Oh, good.
Here's the statement. You ready?
Yeah.
Nipple piercing was popular among Victorian upper-class women, as it was believed to suppress sexual desire and prevent pregnancy if the former function failed.
And create infection. That sounds crazy, but it wouldn't surprise me here.
Nipple piercing. Popular among Victorian upper-class women, as it was believed to suppress sexual desire and prevent pregnancy if the former function failed.
I'm going to say... Jeez. I'm going to say false. I just want it to
You're
be...
say false.
I want it to be false so bad that it's driving my decision, but I'm going to say false.
Well, Scott, you're 2-for-2.
Oh,
it is
my
false.
Gosh.
But why?
No morning
why would we just...
I don't know why that played. Sorry. Go ahead.
Why would we just make something up like that? There actually is something. So nipple piercing actually was very popular in Victorian women, but not because of what I said. It was because they liked it.
Oh!
it was actually thought that upper-class Victorian women thought it made them more attractive, mm-hmm, and that it felt good.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so not too dissimilar from why people pierce their nipples today.
I'm not shaming anyone for this, but I'm telling you right now, I will never and have never and could never pierce a nipple, and here's why. I understand it's maybe on the back end you got some value there, but the initial is someone is ramming a rod through your freaking nipple. F that noise. I'm not doing that ever. Oh my gosh, it sounds horrid. I can't even imagine it. The only thing that sounds worse is like either genital piercing or like actually any piercing. I don't want to do ears. Y'all with your holes in you. What are you doing there? What's that about?
Apparently it was also a display of wealth and power for an interesting reason, because having your nipples and genitals pierced, you have to have really good hygiene, in order to make it so that doesn't get infected and gross. So you won't do it. You wouldn't do it unless you could bathe every day.
And you were higher up if you could do that. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I thought maybe it was like you could put really fancy gold on your nipple rings or something, and they would say, "Oh, look at the rich guy over there with the nipple rings and the gold and the whatnot." You know?
Yeah. Look at the nipple rings on that fella.
All right, I'm feeling good. 2-for-2. Let's do this. What's third?
All right, I got another one. This one is actually not from The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. I got this one on my own. Here's the statement. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Glass is not a solid, but in fact is a high viscosity liquid. Is that true or false?
Well, that's true when it's at a certain temperature.
So glass just in your window, as you think about it, or anywhere, just glass in its solid form, quote-unquote solid form, the statement is it is not actually a solid, but in fact is a high viscosity liquid.
And viscosity meaning, I mean, this is ultimate viscosity because it's literally like the hardest it's ever going to get.
Right. Viscosity, like, meaning that it flows very slowly. So molasses, for example, would be higher viscosity than water, because whereas they're both liquids, molasses flows very more slowly.
Also, it depends on the kind. Like, modern glass, there's tempered glass, there's all these different kinds. It's not like the old days where they had that wibbly-wobbly stuff in the saloon, where if you look through it, everything was all distorted, because that's the best we could do back then. Oh, geez. I feel like I'm getting tricked on this one. I'm going to say false. I don't think it is.
You're going to say false?
Yeah.
The chat room mostly are all saying true. Are you sure that you want to say false?
Yeah, because I don't... They're trying to steer me in the wrong direction anyway. I never trust what
all
they're
right.
saying.
Well, the answer is false.
Oh.
It's false.
Oh, that means I'm right.
You are correct.
Yeah, dude. Woo!
It's actually a common myth that it's a high viscosity liquid, but it's not. And the myth comes from the fact that you got window panes in old buildings, like stained glass windows in really old churches. They'll have thicker glass towards the bottom of the panes. And so the idea was, people thought, well, they would, if you made the glass pane evenly thick, then it must be sagging. Why is it? Why would they all be thicker at the bottom, unless it was just very slowly,
sure,
sagging towards the bottom?
Right, and that's why I almost went that direction. It just
right.
It just doesn't match, though, with what I can feel and see, especially today. So I kind of thought it was a trick where you're going to say modern glass, we do this now. Now it makes it a solid, where the old stuff maybe was or whatever.
You trusted your feelings like a good Jedi. Trust your feelings.
Yeah, I did. I trusted my feelings and I used the Force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the truth is, so the question might be, why then are all these glass panes thick at the bottom?
I bet I know.
Why don't we ever see it the other way around? And it was because it was hard to make glass evenly thick back in the day. So sometimes it would be thicker on one end than the other, because it just was really hard to do. And when it was thicker at the bottom of the pane, the craftsman, the windowman would put the thicker part at the bottom, because why would you put it at the top? It's more stable for it to be at the bottom.
Yeah, I agree. But you wouldn't put it up top. It'd be heavy, top heavy. This makes perfect sense to me. See, this is how life is. We all think we know a thing. We don't know things. Go with your gut. Or don't, actually. The gut's the problem, too, sometimes. Just today, my gut was right.
Yes. Sometimes your gut is right. Yep. Sometimes you need a little gas action.
That's right. 3 for 3, everybody. Or what am I, 4 for 4? What are we? Three for three.
3 for 3. All right. 3 for 3. All right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah, go.
This is, I'm going to have to ratchet up the difficulty.
All right, I'm fine with that. I'm okay. Next level.
Here we go. Here's the statement. The heating up of a spacecraft as it re-enters and descends through the atmosphere. So you know that happens, right? A spacecraft comes in.
Yeah. Gets all hot underneath, the little flames underneath the thing and all that, yeah.
Yeah, it starts to glow and everything.
Yeah.
So the heating up of the spacecraft as it re-enters and descends through the atmosphere is not mostly caused by friction, which is only responsible for a small amount of the heat. Less than 5%.
5% is caused by friction. The rest is what?
Under 5% is caused by friction. You've heard, I'm sure, that friction with the air is what causes all that heat.
I have heard
but
that.
But the statement I'm making, and you have to determine whether it's true or false, is that it's not friction. That friction only causes a minuscule amount of the heat.
I'm going to say that's so there's got to be other atmospheric stuff in place. I'm going to say that's true, that it's a small percentage and it's something else causing it.
All right. Well, you're correct.
Look at me. Look at the brain on Brad. Woo!
All right. So it's true. It's not caused by friction. It's commonly thought that it's caused by friction. That's what you hear all the time. But what's actually happening, I know at least one other person said in the chat room the correct answer here, that the heat is being caused by compressed air in front of the spacecraft. Hmm. It's moving so fast that the air does not have time to get out of the way.
No matter how aerodynamic you are, it's just too fast. It can't get out of the
way. Well, and the spacecraft very deliberately is not entering in the most aerodynamic way that it can, because it's trying to slow down.
Got it.
But even if it were entering in a more aerodynamic way, it heat would probably still happen because it's moving so fast that it compresses air. The air doesn't have the time to get out of the way, and compressed air, when it compresses, it heats up. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Sure.
You know, PV equals NRT. You learned it in chemistry.
Sure.
But anyway, it's just the air gets so hot that it radiates heat and then causes the spacecraft to heat
up. It would be easily confused because in a lot of cases, friction is a similar problem or a similar effect. But in this case, it's not. I mean, why couldn't you call it friction with air that won't move fast enough? Why isn't it still friction? You know what I mean?
Right. And probably, like you said, aerodynamics, at least for when the spacecraft is taking off, they want it to be as aerodynamic as possible so that less fuel is needed to get it up. So they probably make it as frictionless as they can.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, right? And those tiles they use I don't know if those are just heat resistant or what the deal is, but they do that. Aerodynamics do matter in some sense.
They are heat resistant. I went to space camp when I was a kid and they did a demonstration. I got to put my hand on one side of one of those tiles, which isn't that thick. Put my hand on one side and they blew a blowtorch onto the other side of the tile and it was glowing red hot with my hand right behind it.
Oh, weird.
Couldn't even tell.
You couldn't tell? I also did space camp, but ours was like a fake. Was it? Did yours do this? They put us in a thing and left us in there for 4 days and we had to run it like a ship. And
oh my God, that doesn't sound like space camp. That sounds like survival camp.
It was awesome. It was this really cool thing, and there was a long list to sign up, and I got lucky, got in 1 year. And it was just at the school.
It was in Utah? It sounds like a very...
Oh yeah, it was totally here. It was Utah at my high school. It was at Brighton High School. I don't know if other schools did it, but we had this teacher who was super into aerospace and all that. And it was a science teacher, and he had this room especially set up with like a fake capsule type thing, and you had to go into it, and inside were all these knobs and buttons and systems, and we had to kind of, you know, if something went wrong, we had to react and do whatever. And all I remember is this kid named Paul vomited in there. That's all I remember. That's my main memory. This kid puked. Paul.
All right, we got time for one more?
Yeah, we got one more. Do it.
All right. This is the best one. Save the best for last. Again, I got these from The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. Here's the statement. Tobacco smoke enemas were popular mainstream Victorian treatments for multiple ailments, from cholera to drowning.
Drowning? The guy's dead?
Tobacco smoke enemas. I'm just giving you the statement.
All right.
were popular mainstream treatments in Victorian times in Victorian England for multiple ailments, from cholera to drowning.
Okay, I'm going to say that this is true because, A, those people were nuts back then and everything was snake oil and it sounds like something they would do. But also, I have heard of tobacco enemas before.
Tobacco smoke enemas.
Right. But I feel like...
But you've heard of tobacco enemas.
Sure. So okay. Somebody hooking themselves up to a little smoke pipe, you know, downstairs seems like sensible Victorian science to me. So I'm going to say yes, this happened.
Well, you're correct. Of course this happened because, like you said... In Victorian England, they did crazy stuff.
You know what I've done here? I worked the board. I ran the board, you guys.
You really did. You really did.
Yep. Katie, you're a winner. Wrong one.
Congratulations.
You're a winner. Sorry, go ahead.
But you know what? It's not that hard to believe because nowadays people just stick everything up their butts, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time. We still do this. People still do coffee enemas. People do all sorts of stuff. And there may be some benefits that aren't, you know, completely proven or whatever.
Yeah,
I ain't never doing it. Never, ever. That's exit only. Exit only, baby.
And it's not that much of a leap to think of. Back then in Victorian England, we didn't really understand. Tobacco was medicinally used all the time. It didn't really understand the dangers of tobacco yet, right?
Right.
Native Americans used it for a long time medicinally. Enemas in general were also a common treatment for things, so you just put the two together and there you go. But how did they think that it worked? Tobacco smoke in particular, with the drowning, that's weird, right?
Yeah, it is weird.
So they thought for drowning in particular that if you put the smoke in the butt,
mm-hmm.
it would warm up the body.
Yeah.
The nicotine would then stimulate the heart.
Yeah.
And then water would somehow be displaced out of the body.
Did they ever chronicle a case that worked? Like, where they can say that happened?
I doubt it.
Yeah, that's my thinking too.
Who knows?
I doubt that ever worked. Or if it did, it was like a fluke where the guy was not all that drowned. It's not as drowned as it's not as drowned as he was reported to be.
He's not as drowned as he thunk he was.
Yeah, drowning seems hardcore. I had a friend named Chuck I had a coworker named Chuck who claimed that he did hot sauce enemas. And that's about all I want to say about that.
God.
But he claimed it. He said he'd get a whole, it'd be a mixture of water, but then like a ton of Tabasco or a ton of Cholula. He liked that the best. And and he would do that. And he says it was great. Oh, it's changed my life, you guys. Like, okay, man. No thanks. Now, doing it.
The joke I know everybody's thinking of at home, and I'm surprised you haven't made yet, is blowing smoke up someone's ass.
Oh, is this where it came from?
This is where it came from.
No.
That's literally where that phrase comes from.
I love
it. The Victorian practice of blowing tobacco smoke. Enemas.
Okay, that actually makes sense because it's patently untrue that it would work normally.
Exactly.
And so therefore, you're blowing smoke up my ass means you're lying to me or you're just...
Isn't that a feel-good story there? Because you're like, oh, the reason that this phrase means that you're putting somebody on or you're lying to them or you're trying to make them feel good about something is because eventually people realized that this was just a placebo, just didn't do anything, just made people feel like something was happening.
Yeah, they felt better. The family felt better that they tried something.
Yeah.
Which is usually
for their drowning.
Yeah.
Well, we tried CPR. CPR probably wasn't even invented.
No,
then, right?
No, I didn't know what to do with that. Probably, I think. I don't
they
think.
Didn't even know mouth to mouth. They were like, "Well, what could we do?
How about a tube in the hooter? How about that? Let's put that up there."
It's funny that it went there instead of trying to breathe into their lungs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad I don't live in the Victorian era. Suddenly today.
Yeah, you probably died of a lot of things you shouldn't have died of if you lived in Victorian England.
Yeah. I feel like even Mad Max people know better about how to save people from drowning. Well, mainly there's not enough water there. So,
Congratulations, Scott. You got 100%. And congratulations, Katie Talmo.
Yep. You win. Katie, I'll send you these codes via this text. This is the other nice thing about this text. I can just very quickly send these off. And you are our winner. Congratulations. Just put those codes in Steam and they are yours. Congratulations once again. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, some time with Tom Merritt and then recommendals after that. Before we go, though, we're going to play a song. This is an Indie in the Middle that Brian sent to me, thankfully, because I don't know how to do this. I don't know who to pick or what to do. You know what I mean? I just know songs I like, and I'll play those occasionally. But, you know, when Brian's got stuff. So here's what he sent me. A Cumulus, new album by Something Brighter. It's out today, October 21st. So it's been a few days. Anyway, as the title might suggest, the latest LP from the Pacific Northwest West musician, also known as Alexandra, it's an interesting name, Alexandra Lockhart, is a panacea for our turbulent and otherwise challenging times. Quote, if optimism exists in these quasi-apocalyptic days, writes the vaulted Seattle Alt Weekly, The Stranger, in a recent profile, they are certainly an endangered species, but thanks to Cumulus, they have a brilliant new soundtrack for Dancing in the Rubble. They say the song is Something Brighter from Cumulus. We're going to play it now. And when we come back, Tom Merritt will be joining us. So please enjoy, and we'll see you in a moment.
Staring at the cracks in the wall. into my bloodstream. I don't need that much anymore. Let's just lay here on the floor.
Toshiba offers a system for storing up to 4 megabytes of data on the newer 3.5-inch diskette. This is accomplished using what's called perpendicular recording. Toshiba is the first manufacturer in the world to offer this new technique commercially.
What were the yellow pages?
In the Constitution.
The Morning Stream. Yes, I'm not easy to get along with, am I?
And we returned. That was once again Cumulus and their new album, Something Brighter, is out today. So check it out. And thank you again, Brian, for helping me set that up. All right. And also, Scott Fletcher's wrong. He's very easy to be around. Super easy to be around guy. That line was not true about him at all. Especially this part right here. Where is it?
I'm not easy to get along with, am I?
That's bullcrap. It's total bullcrap.
I agree.
You've met him. He was in Vegas. Yeah, you know.
He's very easy to be around.
One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah, Scott Fletcher. Him and Christine. Is it Christine?
Christine, his wife, yes.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. She's probably listening now because we got recommendals coming up. And as you know, she's very picky about that.
She's waiting.
Yeah. You may know her from...
shitoutofluck.com.
There she is. All right. What now? Tom. That's who. That's what? Tom... I think feeling much, much, much better after also contracting COVID for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. I got that from his newsletter.
That's how I heard it as well.
Which I subscribed to.
Yeah, if you subscribe to Tom's newsletter, then you know this particular status, and we're going to find out how he's doing right now.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
That man is Tom Merritt. He joins us here on the show every Wednesday to talk about the goings-on in the tech world, but also we want to check in on him, making sure he's feeling better. Tom, how's your post-COVID lifestyle going?
Well, it's not post yet, technically, at least according to the two little lines on the plastic thing. But I'm feeling 98%. Normal.
Oh, it's pretty good. That's not bad.
In fact, the only symptom I'm having is that Brian Ibbett looks really different to me suddenly.
I know, right?
That's what happens. You get COVID, yeah. Brian gets hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the weirdest side effect I've ever heard of.
And he really gets hair. Where he's not messing around with how much hair he gets when he's here. But Brian's down with some sort of non-COVID horrible flu. Which he said it's so much worse than the actual COVID was, which tells me that these vaccines work. And I'm glad that Tom's vaccinated and doing well. And,
hey, that's a good point. I got my fourth booster, the bivalent one, on September 27th. I first started showing symptoms last Wednesday, got the test, was positive, was kind of, I would say I was sick on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
For sure. Started to feel a little better on Saturday, and by Monday I was kind of back to normal, which tells me that my personal constitution is amazing and it had nothing to do with the vaccines.
No, you know what it is?
It's all me.
It's all those fish things you eat. You eat a lot of fish.
Tom. I eat a lot of sardines.
Yeah.
I do.
Tom's a sardine guy. And I think those.
A lot of oranges, too.
Those omega-3s plus your vitamin C intake. Boy, howdy. Get through COVID.
Do you
like
eat them out of a can with a key?
They don't have the key anymore. I'm a little disappointed that they don't use the key. Yeah. It's just a pop top now.
That's a shame.
That's what the cartoons have told me that's how they come.
They've led us astray.
Yeah. Yeah.
A real bummer.
I wish they still did. That'd be so much fun. And then I'd have a little collection of keys to show all the sardines.
Well, thanks to you, it is now one more down. I feel like I'm very quickly becoming the only person in our circles.
I know. I thought I like Justin Robert Young before me, thought I could evade it, but no. Run, Scott, run.
Yeah, run away. And
I haven't gotten it yet either.
Oh, that's right. That's right, Bobby. You down there in South Carolina.
Even one of my kids got it and I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Go, Bobby. Go, Scott. Save yourselves.
Get away while you still can. Well, I'm hopeful. And I don't want to hear about this new cube variant, whatever it is. I don't want to hear about it, everybody. Just keep it to yourselves. Tom Merritt.
I thought it was a GameCube.
It's a GameCube. Yeah. The new GameCube. Run away from it. Hey, you're here because we do tech stuff, and we do it on Wednesday. What is happening? What's boiling out there? I can't wait to hear.
Yeah. So one of the things that's been kicking around for a couple of days, and I think Sarah wants to address it on the show with you on today, is this study that showed that children who reported playing a lot of video games at the ages of 9 and 10 had better memory, better motor skills, better attention, not just on tests, but also with increased activity in brain regions associated with those kinds of things. It is a correlation, not a causation. It may be that when you have those better things, you're more likely to want to play video games, but it's an interesting correlation nonetheless.
Yeah, we talked about this a bit on, was it yesterday, Bobby? We
talked a little bit about it. I'd love to hear what your take is.
Yeah, what is your take? Like the one takeaway I had was they didn't tell us what genres or games they played. Otherwise, it sounds like this really great study. There's like more than 1,800 to 2,000 kids involved. Like it's a big sort of, you know, rich with data sort of result and all that. But they don't actually say, were these kids playing Call of Duty? Were they playing a simple match three puzzle game? Like, I don't know what they mean by games.
9 and 10 year olds were all playing Call of Duty. I'm sure a few of them were, honestly. That's a good question. The Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development Study is an ongoing study with thousands of kids in the U.S. where they do regular surveys and tests for multiple reasons. So the scientist who did this paper pulled from that data. And that data includes a question that says, how much time did you spend playing a video game today? So what defines a video game is left to the child.
Interesting.
Which is not, I think you might be quick to call that a weakness in the study. It's not, but it is something you should know about the data. This is self-reported, which means the margins for error get a little fuzzier, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's up to the child to define what a video game was, and it's up to the child to remember how much time they spent on it, which may or may not be particularly accurate.
And the I know when I ask my child, how long have you been playing video games now? They're always 100% accurate.
Perfect.
Yeah, the motivation of the questioner probably has a big effect.
That's true. The questioner might not have been saying, then put it down.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But the reason I bring that up is you might be tempted to want to throw that data out then, but it's not entirely unreliable. What you find out is when you spread it across 2,217 children, and this is why you need large sample sizes, it tends to be close enough to be able to treat it in very large amounts. And that's what they did in this study. They took out the children who said they played more than 21 hours a day and the children who said they didn't play any a day. Right. And they sort of left out that middle ground to sort of not try to rely on the accuracy of the data too much. Kids who said they played a lot probably played a lot. And the kids who said they played none, well, they might have played a little, but they probably played close to zero. If you played some, you probably reported it. So they were looking at the extreme ends, which makes me think, okay, you're likely to have, you know, relatively accurate data when you're talking about a chunk that size. You're not trying to fine slice it between like who had 9.5 and who had 10.5 hours.
Yeah, for me, it doesn't actually hurt the study to not know. I just think it would be fascinating, either further study or new study,
exactly,
to get into the categories. Yeah, because to be able to say like, oh, well, this many kids, they were just playing simple puzzle games on their phone, but these kids were playing Fortnite at a very competitive level. What is there a difference there? Maybe not. But that to me would be interesting further study. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's the way science is supposed to work, right?
Right.
Is you go like, is there anything to study? We have existing data.
Yeah.
It's very it's very rough, right? It's a rough draft, but there's enough response. We've got thousands of children, and we can block the data in large enough chunks that it's useful, right? Mm-hmm. It's not nearly worthless. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, all right, if we see anything here, then that warrants additional study. That means like, all right, maybe we want to bring some children into the lab, have them actually play some games, measure their cognition and such there. And that's when you can start to tell like what kinds of games correlate with what kinds of skills on a more fine-tuned basis. But that's all further study. This is basically trying to say we see a lot of studies that show the negative effects of video games. We wanted to see if there was also positive effects. The other thing that they did not find is any correlation with mental health. Mm. There was no difference between the two groups on whether they had better or worse mental health.
Yeah, which is interesting from the perspective of everybody wants to default to why, you know, if their kid seems a little depressed.
It's interesting in the historical context of video game studies in science, you know.
Absolutely. Well,
and that's the other thing, too, is like that also warrants further study, which is, okay, but are there children with certain kinds of mental health issues where the video games do aggravate it? Because there has been a correlation with aggression as well. Again, we haven't done enough studying to find out, is it that if you are more aggressive, you're more likely to want to play a video game? Or is it the video game aggravates it? Does it aggravate it for some conditions and not others, et cetera? So that's the way you need to approach them.
Yeah, I have enough weird sort of side data just from friendships to know that if I know people that are kind of competitive minded, they tend to play games that are extremely competitive.
That makes sense, right?
It does make sense, right? There's like a sensible conclusion there, but I love it when we're applying sort of scientific method to these things, because I don't know, we're at a point now where games aren't just a weird offshoot that kids play. We're at a place where, you know, adults in places of leadership and business and otherwise all grew up on this stuff, you know, where that's just where we're at. So even the oldest is, you know, played Pong or freaking Missile Command at the local arcade and is now, you know, some CEO somewhere. They've all had some experience with it. And now more than ever, you know, in the 90s, it was getting blamed for everything. But now more than ever, I just think it's more like, all right, well, no, it's everywhere now. This is huge. It's bigger than the entertainment industry. It's bigger than the film industry. We should study it more and actually understand it and not just jump to conclusions and blame it for things.
Yeah.
So I'm all for this.
And also keep in mind, not every study is studying everything. Red Fraggle 3 asks a great question. Don't psychological tests usually do a baseline for variables like that? You do a baseline for variables that you're studying. Depending on what you're studying, you will try to go for those variables. It depends on how you design the study and what you're after. This study was a meta study. They're saying, let's look at the data and let's look at a large enough chunk of it that it's usable. And let's see if we notice a correlation. If we do, then that says, maybe we should do a psychological study with some baselines and pursue that more.
Yeah.
When it comes to science, what you're looking for is important to remember. That's important for the context, because it's easy after the fact, when you're thinking about the implications of data that was found, to think, oh, well, why didn't you look at this? Or why didn't you ask this question or anything like that? But it's actually bad science to try to collect everything.
Right.
Because that makes the mining for the statistics and what's called p-hacking and everything really tempting to do bad statistics on the science. So good science is you ask a question, and then you design something to answer that specific question. And then more questions might come up. And so that's another hallmark of a good scientific study, is you've generated a bunch of questions from that. And so now you go and answer those questions.
Yep. Yeah. This article actually has the question, what is the association between video gaming and cognition in children? Mm. And this is how they answered it. And you're right, Bobby. That's well explained. Those questions that you have about, well, why didn't you do this and what about that? Those are the questions that's doing science after you've done your study to be like, okay, these are the questions I have. Now I need to pick one of those and then define a study like Bobby was talking about.
Well, if this sounds like interesting conversation, good news. Daily Tech News Show today will have more about this and much more in the lineup. So do check it out today at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. And if you're not already subbing to the podcast, you should do that as well. Tom Merritt, you've always got a million things going on. I learned about your COVID from the newsletter.
Yeah.
So you probably got that going. You got other things going on. Tell us what's coming up for you.
Sure. Yeah. So a couple notes of programming. I won't be on Daily Tech News Show with you today because I'm working on some of that other stuff. But Sarah will be talking about this video game study with Scott. And I will be on the show because I recorded an interview with Captain Brian Hoffman about the GPS outage that happened in Dallas-Fort Worth last week.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
And he's going to explain, you know, why aircraft have to react the way they do, why it caused delays, what are the possible causes of it, and why we don't know what caused this one yet, when usually we do. And he'll make his best guess about what he thinks probably caused it as well. So that will be on the show today as well, dailytechnewsshow.com.
Probably not an alien EMP, though, right? Probably not that.
I don't know. Tune in and find out.
Oh, you guys, you don't even know. Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited to find out myself. That's later today, 2 p.m. Mountain. Tom Merritt, I hope you continue to feel better, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye.
Bye, Tom.
All right. I like that. Further digging into the study you brought up.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. I love getting different perspectives on different things.
Yep. So there you have that. Okay, recommendal's a little weird today because Randy had a gig in the morning at work that he could not get out of, so he's not here. And Nicole, very last minute, also had something come up. Good news is this. I have two things to recommend.
It was me.
Everyone's allergic to Bobby, except me, apparently. I don't break out in the hives, they do. But I've got two recommendals for horror movies this week, and then anything Bobby wants to recommend, absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and dive us into this thing as if life depended on it. Hold on a second. Where the hell's the thing? There it is. Doodaloo. All right, it's time for recommendals. These are things that I've seen on streaming services here recently that I would like to share with the grander audience. And because I'm super into Halloween this year and I've been watching a lot of horror movies, as people know, I'm going to recommend a couple of them. Good news is you don't have to have a Shudder subscription to see these, which is where I've been hanging out lately. I got these on Hulu for my first one and HBO Max for my second. And I'm going to start with the top one on Hulu. So this is a British movie that came out very recently. And I was skeptical going in, and I came away wanting to recommend it. So we'll get this one out of the way first. Here's my clip.
You don't give orders anymore. You're finished.
Daddy, go home.
I've come to rescue you.
It's you she needed rescuing from, you and your silent partner.
Whoever you grovel to isn't doing you much good, is it? Look at the daughter your husband gave his life for, rotting before your eyes, just like you. You can't help anyone.
Just ask your daughter.
Abby, what is this?
Get her over the circle. You know what'll happen if you don't.
Don't turn your back on me!
All right, some mayhem there, a little bit of mayhem toward the end of that clip. The movie is called Matriarch. And it was directed by Ben Steiner. This just came out on Hulu. I believe it was imported from our friends in Britain. The brief description for this is, afflicted with a mysterious disease after surviving an overdose, a woman returns to her childhood home to confront her personal demons, but instead discovers a real one. It is creepy as crap and very weird. And I liked it a whole lot, partially or maybe even mostly because of the performance of one Kate Dickey. And you might say, who the crap is Kate Dickey? You absolutely know her from a whole bunch of stuff. In particular, you know her from the character Ford from Prometheus. You know her from the recent Green Knight film. She was the mom in The Witch, another very weird, dark horror movie that I love. She's Lady... Oh, now I got to look it up so I don't get this name wrong. It was Game of Thrones, Lisa Arryn. She's the one that got tossed through the big window. Remember that?
Oh, yes. Yep. That's where I recognize her from.
Yeah, breastfeeding her son way too late, all that stuff. Yep. Game of Thrones character. She's great in that as well. Something about her is just some of the most riveting acting in anything every time I see her. I just absolutely love that lady. I don't know why she's so compelling, but she is. And she's really great in this as the mother to our main character.
Matriarch also stars Simon Meacock.
Yeah, Simon Meacock, which is, you know, look at that. He plays Leonard, a very weird character. It's all very strange, disconcerting, tonally very like, I don't know how to explain it. It's not going to, if you're listening to this and going, I don't like horror movies, don't watch this movie. I would probably, you know, put it in there with like Midsommar, maybe Hereditary, that kind of level of dark and creepy. it helps that they're all British for some reason for me. I don't know why. It just does. I just like British acting. Anyway, it's really good. I don't want to give away too much, but the story is pretty trippy and goes some really interesting places, and also is a movie where they're not afraid to end it on its own terms. They don't feel this film definitely didn't feel like they had to make sure a certain person survives or whatever. I don't want to give too much away, but they're not afraid to go there. And so they go there. If you have phobias about getting black goo in your ear, maybe you don't want to see this one. All right. That's all I'll say about the black goo.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. There's black goo in this. Again, this is on Hulu. This is Matriarch. And as Christine would say,
shitoutofluck.com
is where you're going to want to go find more information. The next up is the one. The reason I saved this one for a second, this is the biggest surprise of the year for me, and is actually going to make my top five movies of the year, maybe even number one. And the fact that it's a horror movie blew my mind. But I'm
very intrigued now.
Loved this movie, and here's what I'm going to commit today to absolutely spoil nothing, because usually I'm not really that worried about spoilers. This is a movie where I want you to have the experience I had, which was phenomenal, because throughout the entire thing, I never knew where they were taking me. And every time they got to some sort of, filmic destination, they then started taking me in a new direction that I didn't predict. I didn't know where this movie was going. How often can you say that about horror movies? They're almost always a bundle of stereotypes and tropes that play out fine or are a lot of fun to see again and maybe painted in a different way. But this is like the most new thing.
The title, and that's it.
Yeah, and the title is not even, I don't know why it's called this. So anyway, I'm going to play a clip and then we'll play it.
Where are you staying while you're in town?
Oh, an Airbnb.
Oh, that's nice. Whereabouts?
It's in Brightmoor. You know where that is?
What?
Yeah, you know it? Are you kidding?
Well,
I mean, yeah, it seems a little rough, but...
No, you shouldn't be there.
What do you mean?
That's not an Airbnb in Brightmoor.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a cute little house, but yeah, I suppose the neighborhood is a little
test.
Well, I did try and find somewhere else, but there's like a convention in town or something, and I have a roommate, so it's a little complicated.
I guess. Okay, well, just be careful, okay? Seriously.
I will. I'm tough.
All right. That was the most non-spoilery part of the movie that I could find. This is why I recorded it there. The movie is called Barbarian. It was recently in theaters, doing quite well and reviewing quite well. But it just hit HBO Max is where it is. And Barbarian is... I don't know why it's called that, honestly. That's not even a spoiler either.
It's about Diablo.
It's all about Diablo.
Barbarian.
Yes, I'm looking forward to their next one, the Amazon warrior lady. What's the name of that? The Amazon, that's what they call her. Barbarian just came out, and it just hit this week, HBO Max. So I watched it last night, and I was blown away by it. It's at like 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. It reviewed extremely well. So when I heard about it, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll probably watch that. I didn't know it was coming so quick. This is a movie by Zach Cregger. You've never heard of him because he's never done this before. He is known mostly for acting. So he's in a bunch of other stuff. The TV show Wrecked, where he played the character Owen. Uncut and Uncensored. The Whitest Kids You Know, that show. He's in a ton of things as an actor. He's been working since the late 90s. But this is his first writing and directing. He wrote and directed this entire thing. It stars Georgina Campbell as Tess, is kind of our main titular character. Bill Skarsgård, one of the Skarsgård boys, is in this. He's the one that famously plays the
Skarsgård boys.
He plays the It clown in the It movies. And so you might think, ooh, he's going to be up to no good. Very interesting character in here named Keith. Justin Long, of all people, is in this. Yeah. I'm blown away by Justin Long. He's really good at it. And then keep your eye on a name here, Matthew Patrick Davis. I won't say anything else about that dude. The point is, it grabbed me early and held me the entire time. there are moments where you think it's going to be a certain kind of movie, and then it's a very different movie. For example, you might think at points like, oh, is this a haunted house? Maybe. Maybe it isn't. Is this a creature feature? Maybe. Is it something else entirely? Maybe. It's a bunch of stuff, and none of it was predictable. None of it, I could not foresee how this thing was going to play out, how it ended, how it started, how the middle worked itself out. Genuine scares, amazing acting, really great directing, writing's incredible. I loved Barbarian, loved it. Again, if you don't like horror movies, you're not going to like this one because it's got all, you know, it's got a lot of horror in it. But it is a few levels higher than your typical, for sure. And it's making my best movies of the year list for sure, because I just absolutely adored Barbarian. So watch Barbarian, Bobby. It's good.
I have questions, but I don't want to ask them because I don't want to.
I won't tell you. I won't spoil a thing. The only thing I'll say is it's a horror movie. That's it. That's all you're going to get.
All right.
And you know if you're in or if you're not from that. And if you're in, I think you're in for one of the best surprises in years. I haven't seen this director, Zach Cregger. This, I hope, is this like watershed moment where he goes, oh, this is my calling, and then go make me a million more smart movies like this. Because it's amazing. It's so good. All right.
So I only have one question for you, and this will be fine. Are you a fan of horror movies?
I like horror movies. I'm not like hardcore freak show about it, but I like them, especially this time of year.
But you don't dislike horror movies.
No, I like, and the, I, people always say, well, Scott, how is this possible? Because you scream in video games when they're scary. I've explained this before, and I'll say it one more time. It's really this simple. In a movie, people are doing things I can't control, and it doesn't bother me because I can't do anything about it anyway. If this guy's going to be dumb and leave the window open so the guy can come in or whatever. These are not about Barbarian, by the way. Nothing to do with that. But let's just say that's the scenario. Then I'm like, well, that was dumb, but okay. That's what horror movies do. See, that guy's going to die, whatever. Like, it doesn't bother me, and I appreciate the craft of it, but it doesn't scare me. When I play a video game, I am in charge.
Think something, yeah.
I'm controlling it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's you. It's also you are usually role-playing to some extent in a game where you are the main character that you're playing, whereas when you're watching a horror movie, you're just watching it happen to other people.
Yeah, exactly. If I see the movie, I might say, oh, that was gnarly. And that's the end of it. If I do that in a video game, even if it's a less of a horrible moment, you're going to hear me go, like, I can't.
Right.
I can't change. I don't know why this is about me, but for me, the difference. And Carter says, oh, I'd much rather play a scary video game than watch a scary movie. My daughter says, because she has the opposite feeling of when I'm in control, I am in control. So I can do things.
Right.
I don't want to be getting chased down the hall by a three-headed nightmare or whatever. Like, I don't want to have that. So, you know, let somebody else deal with it. That's what the movies are for. Video games are for me deciding my outcome. And sometimes that's horrible and terrible in a video game. So anyway, again, my two movies are Matriarch on Hulu, Barbarian on HBO Max, both great, great recommendations, but in particular Barbarian.
Yeah.
Amazing. I don't even know what to compare it to. I don't have a good comparison. It's some of the best horror I've ever seen. All right. Moving on. Bobby, did you have anything you watched recently you just think it'd be fun to recommend to people?
I've been watching a lot of Justified finally. Oh, you know what? Because that's been, you talk about Justified all the time. I don't know if this has ever been recommended, and it may have been, but I just recently finished on Netflix the Ricky Gervais comedy drama Afterlife.
Oh,
have you seen that?
No, Brian recommended it here and really liked it, and it's on. I've had it in my queue forever, and I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, they just did the third season, and I think it's their last. It's got to be the last season, and it's funny, but it's also very thought provoking, and it can be depressing at times, but also uplifting. And it's just an emotional journey with a lot of very British but in particular Ricky Gervais' comedy.
I'm in.
And I really, really like it. It deals with a lot of questions about, as the name implies, about death and what it means to be someone who the whole premise of the show, you get this from the very beginning of the first episode, the whole premise is that Ricky Gervais' wife has died and he's dealing with the aftermath of that. And how does he continue on after that, after life,
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's whole three seasons of it, and it's just amazing. It asks so many different questions about how we cope with that, but also about how we live a good life and how we can learn better to be good to each other. And I've never felt like I learned something really deeply philosophical from watching a comedy series.
Yeah. He's good at that. I mean, noted, you know, atheist. Ricky Gervais likes to explore that stuff in these projects. I felt that way during, it wasn't the same questions, of course, but I felt a lot like that watching Derek, which notably made Carter cry her freaking eyes out. She cried so hard in that show, but it's that same thing. It's a mix of comedy and drama and questions about how we treat each other and how people act, you know, in certain situations or whatever. I like his stuff when he does that, but I haven't.
Yeah.
Haven't
yeah. And that's absolutely something that's explored in this series I'd say if there was one primary question that these three seasons keeps getting to over and over again, and I think does finally answer it at the end. So there's your motivation to go all the way through it. Is the main question of how do you, regardless of your belief system, and especially if you don't believe in a higher power, how is it possible for you to be a good person and live a good life?
Right.
And that's a very atheist question, right?
Sure.
That goes to your point of how he's a very prominent atheist and likes to explore those themes.
Yeah. Which I don't. How do I put this? When somebody just goes bah and then walks away, I'm less likely to be interested if they go bah and then they back it up with like exploring those issues in their art. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I like that. I respect it. I know, you know, like and disrespect and or whatever. Ricky Gervais has his enemies and his friends. I get it. He's not, you know, he's controversial, but I respect it when artists explore that stuff, and they can do it with a little bit of humor and do it with a little bit of heart and, you know, leave me wanting more, which is what Afterlife sounds like. So right. I will check it out.
That's I'm doubling down on what sounds like you said it was Brian's recommendation at some point. So
double down, baby.
Check out Afterlife.
There you go. All right. There is your recommendals for the week. Once again, I'll run them down. Matriarch on Hulu, Barbarian on HBO Max, and Netflix has the Ricky Gervais show Afterlife. So check those out. All right, what else we got here? I think that's it, except for to tell folks to sign up on our Patreon if you haven't already. Patreon.com/TMS. Be like Matthew Eanes or Ian's. I'm not sure how you say that last name, Matthew. Apologies, but he's awesome because he just joined us yesterday. Oh, yeah. Brand new patron. Thank you, Matthew, for joining us. You will be now able to get all the pre-show content we do every single day, plus a ton of other stuff that you can only get through the Patreon. Find out more at patreon.com/TMS. And for all your other needs from this show, find them at frogpants.com/TMS. As mentioned earlier, I'll be on DTNS today. Looks like sans Tom, but I'll be there with Sarah and Roger and all them. So that'll be today at 2:00. And what else? Is that the only show that's going on? Oh, we're doing a TWBD, the folks that do the D&D show with me. We just finished our major arc, right? The huge 4+ year campaign that we started ended. And we're going to do a big sort of rehash, a Q&A with each other, kind of a round table about what we you know, loved about the campaign, what we might do different, things about our character, some questions from the listeners. So we're doing that tonight. It won't be live stream, but we are recording it and we'll put it out there for everybody to hear it. So I'm pretty excited about that. So check that out. Bobby, remind people where your stuff is so they can go get some.
Oh, well, I do a little science podcast called All Around Science. Me and my co-host, Maura, we talk about science on a weekly basis, just stuff going on in science news and just any interesting old thing that's going on. I'm in the middle of prepping an episode that will come out on Monday, this coming Monday, Halloween, and it's going to be Halloween-themed. I'm I'm going to do a feature on the science of fear and why we enjoy it and like to seek it out.
Oh, interesting. See, I would like to know why I seek it out, especially this time of year. Like, what is that about? And are we as a society, especially Americans who really go nuts for Halloween? I know other parts of the world are like, why do you even care over there? But we do. Why? Is that a collective version of this? Is it just the candy for kids? I know some kids that love to be scared. Like even babies, they love to be like hands behind your eyes, boo, and they kind of jolt and then laugh. Like there's something there, right? Some deep-seated biology about being scared.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that on this upcoming episode, but we just talk about all kinds of science stuff. So check out All Around Science.
Claire says they do Halloween best in Ireland. What do you guys do there? Do you dress up like a gin blossom? Or what do? I don't know what you do.
And zombies.
Zombies. Zombie. Yeah, exactly. What else? You get dressed up like Christian Nairn and be Hodor for a week, or what's your deal? She says they celebrate the whole month. Wow. All right. I mean, we kind of do. We got the pumpkins out and we got, you know, the spooky stuff. Our neighbor up the road's got the whole place decked out in skeletons and stuff.
If you believe Walmart, we've been celebrating since like August.
I know, right? And we're about to celebrate Christmas like tomorrow. So,
yeah.
Stupid. Anyway, Costco's the worst. I was in there the other day. They got a whole huge section of that place is all Christmas crap already. Huge. Like trees pre-decorated, ready to buy right off the thing. It seems like a real bummer, but they're
into it. It's not their fault, Scott.
Nope.
It's our fault for buying it when it comes out.
And now I want one of their $1.50 hot dogs. We'll see. All right, that's it. Thank you all for listening and hanging out. I've got a song to take us out on today. Brian, once again, helping me make sure this happens. And it came by a request. This is from Dustin Anderson. It says, Scott and Brian, over the years, I've listened to the two of you chuckleheads across the majority of your podcasts. You've never let me down. Well, let's see how today goes. Over the last few years, we have fought hard to stay out of the rain of COVID, but alas, I finally caught it, camping in August, believe it or not. Only the youngest never tested positive nor had any symptoms. The whole time listening, I have been married to the best person, Vicky. It will be 20 years on the 23rd of October. Two teenage boys living at home, one in college and the other still in high school. Have provided tons of challenges throughout the years, but we have prevailed. Through ups and downs, good health and bad, we have stayed together. Vicky, here's to many, 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 many more happy years. I don't have any song in mind. I figured Brian could pull something from his extensive cover knowledge. Scott and Brian, keep doing what you're doing best, entertaining us tadpooligans. Any chance I can get Scott to play the Angry Daryl clip since I missed it back in the daylight savings time in spring? Okay, so you got to hear this. It's been a while since I've played it, but it is one of Daryl's best contributions to the show. He recorded this on his phone. And is this it? Hold on.
Oh, the new phone book's arrived. Guess where it goes?
Directly into the recycle bin. What a f***ing waste.
Okay, that's not the one. That's kind of in the vein of what we're looking for here, but that ain't it. Okay, where is it? Oh, is this one? Here it is.
Thanks a lot, f***ing time change. It's the middle of the f***ing night that I'm going to work now.
It's pretty good. Is daylight savings this week? It's not this week, is it? When's the fall for or fall back thing? Is that soon? Hold on. Daylight savings.
Sunday, November 6th.
Okay, we got time. Whew. I'm not ready for that yet. Although I get an hour with that one, right?
Yeah, you get an hour. You fall back.
I mean, they fool me into feeling like I get an hour is what I'm trying to say. Because they don't actually give me anything.
Weren't they talking about getting rid of it? And didn't everyone agree? And are we still doing it?
It was the most nonpartisan thing I'd heard for the last 7 years. That everybody was for changing it. President all the way down through Congress. Everybody was like, yes.
What happened? Did they just forget to
I don't know. Maybe there's a plan and they got to like do something. The chat says we're waiting on Congress. But why? They were all like good to go. They're starting next year? Okay. Well, I mean, look, I know that the wheels of change are slow. Okay, I understand that, but I would like to quit dancing in the hours. Okay, can we quit doing that? It's effed. All right. Anyway, we're gonna play the song "Everybody Wants to Rule the World." This is a cover by a band or artist named Lucius, and that's all I know about it. I don't know why Brian picked it, except he likes it. So I believe in that. If I believe in anything, it's that. So I'm gonna play that, and we'll be back tomorrow with a new show. Brian probably will be here. He says he's definitely feeling the upswing. So we're planning on that. If not, I don't know. You might hear Bobby for a third day. I don't know.
I'll be here.
That's 3 days in a row. I don't think we've ever had it. Maybe I'll just be here anyway.
Maybe you can go, all three of us, we can go morning zoo.
Oh, my Lord. Full morning zoo? Oh, my gosh. I don't think we can do it. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens. Best to him and all the rest he needs today. Otherwise, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a great night. We'll see you then. Night. Have a nice day. And we'll see you then.
Or night.
Or night. Whatever. Part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Pigs don't eat it because they don't know how.
It's the truth.